Okay. So the title of my talk today is Building Capacity to Evaluate a Unique Program for Maltreated Children in Mississippi, a Community Academic Partnership. Before we get started, I'll mention that I have no relevant financial relationships to disclose. And as you know, community-based organizations provide much-needed services to vulnerable populations. Often these organizations rely on grants for funding, and grantmakers want to know that the CBOs are effectively using those resources that they provide. But small CBOs may lack the in-house capacity to evaluate their efforts. They spend precious resources bringing in outside evaluators, or are less competitive when applying for grants, which require an evaluation component. There's a real need to help these organizations strengthen their capacity in the area of evaluation. Today, my talk is about a unique community academic partnership I've been participating in for the last year or so, which has done just that. So my objectives for my presentation today, I will describe the model that I've been participating in, I'll outline the process for building in-house capacity for program evaluation, I'll identify several tools which are valuable for CBOs wanting to conduct program evaluation, and I'll illustrate this using the example of the Children's Justice Center. The partnership that I'm involved in is sponsored by Johnson & Johnson. At the beginning of a funding cycle, Johnson & Johnson identifies a priority area and puts out a request for proposals. Through a competitive selection process, Johnson & Johnson selects 10 community organizations to receive 2 years of funding for their proposed projects. They choose from a field of many applicants, sometimes more than 100. For the 2007-2009 funding cycle, the priority area was organizations in the region affected by Hurricane Katrina, and the Children's Justice Center, located in Jackson, Mississippi, was selected for funding. A separate selection process takes place to find doctoral students at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health and School of Nursing, who will provide individual technical advising to the organizations. The role is called the Johnson & Johnson Community Healthcare Scholar. In addition to providing the scholars, Johns Hopkins provide administrative support for the partnerships. The program director, Dr. Fonseca Becker, is a faculty member at Johns Hopkins, and she serves as a mentor to the scholars. She's responsible for training and advising the students as they provide technical assistance to the grantee organizations. After identifying a cohort of 10 scholars, the program director matches each scholar with a community agency. I was matched with the Children's Justice Center. The point of the partnership is not for the Hopkins students to come in and do the program evaluation, but rather to facilitate the learning process so the agency builds sustainable evaluation skills they can apply to future projects when the partnership concludes. In this example, the CBO that I'm talking about is the Children's Justice Center, or CJC, located in Jackson, Mississippi. They applied for a project that related to their child abuse referral and examination, or CARE clinic, which provides non-traumatic, child-friendly forensic medical assessment and health care to maltreated children. The organization serves the state of Mississippi in addition to parts of neighboring states like Louisiana and Alabama. The project for which they applied and were granted funding was the opening of new satellite care clinics so they could expand their services to more remote parts of the state. There are no forensic medical services in Mississippi other than the services provided by the CARE clinic in Jackson and the newly opened satellite clinic in Meridian. Forensic medical exams are when a specialized clinician conducts a physical exam for the purpose of collecting and documenting evidence of abuse or neglect that is then used in court to prosecute the alleged abuser. Currently, some patients have to drive as much as 4 hours to receive a forensic medical exam in Jackson. The satellite clinics are necessary in order to provide access to services throughout the state. Here's some photos of the CJC staff. As you can see, the clinics are furnished to be as child-friendly and welcoming as possible. The kids seen in the clinic often have been through some pretty scary experiences, and the process of a medical examination can be traumatizing as well. The clinicians who do the medical exams will sometimes spend hours with a patient if that's what's necessary to be able to do the exam and let the child be as comfortable as possible. To help you get a sense of the population the CJC serves, I want to provide some background information on child maltreatment in Mississippi. The reported rate of maltreatment is 8.1 per 1,000 children. However, this is known to be underreported. The true rate is likely to be closer to 12 or 13 per 1,000. But even the underreported number is still unacceptably high when you think about the fact that in 2006, there were 6,272 confirmed cases. So the bar graph that you see here provides some comparison of the types of maltreatment that's seen in the state. You can see that most cases are of neglect, but that of the cases that we're seeing, Mississippi does have slightly higher rates of physical abuse, sexual abuse, and psychological abuse when compared to the U.S. overall. It was important for the care clinic staff to understand the demographics and trends in the state because this helped them start thinking about information they should be sure to collect about their clinic for comparison purposes. So how exactly did our collaboration work? As a scholar matched with the CJC program, I traveled with the Johnson & Johnson Scholars Program Director to my site shortly after the partnership began. Rather than lecturing on evaluation, we engaged in a participatory process. We worked with them to review the goal of their project to make sure they were accurately describing what they wanted to do. We worked together to develop clear objectives, measurable indicators, and a solid conceptual framework. We examined their current data sources, what information they were already collecting, and together we refined them to be sure what they were gathering helped them measure what they wanted to measure. As a student who's frequently thinking about research and evaluation, it's second nature to me that you must collect the right kind of information in order to demonstrate effectiveness or even just demonstrate what you do. But for many of the staff, this was the first time they ever thought about why they collect certain information, how they might use it to learn about their patients or access to their services, and how they might improve the quality of care they provide. It wasn't an easy process. It's tough to answer questions like, how do you know you're doing a good job? How can you document and measure that? But by the end of the first day of the first visit, they'd really started to grasp the concepts and were thinking in a very forward kind of way about what information they could collect to help them show what they do. So part of our capacity building process involved the clinic staff helping me understand their processes. They explained to me how children are referred to the care clinic from various sources, such as physicians, nurses, Department of Human Services, or law enforcement. Then they're seen in the clinics where they're assessed for signs of maltreatment and are provided care. The patients receive any care that they need and referrals out to other specialized services the clinic doesn't offer, and the clinic follows up on legal aspects of the case as well. But CJC also runs an interesting component where they provide educational training sessions for professionals from various disciplines in order to help them recognize when a child they encounter may be being abused or neglected and know what to do in that situation, specifically how to make a referral to the care clinic. So we developed this schematic that you see here so we could make sure everyone was thinking about their processes in the same way. From there, we were able to create a conceptual framework that guided our program evaluation. So why use a conceptual framework? What's valuable about it? Well, from the start, the conceptual framework helps identify variables and data points. It helps you figure out what's being collected and what you need to create in order to gather information that you're not currently collecting. It also serves as a roadmap going forward as the program creates and modifies forms for collecting their data. When setting up a database to hold the collected information, the program can check back with the conceptual framework to make sure they are capturing everything they've outlined. It can also serve as a reference once things are up and running. Looking back at the conceptual framework can help the program remember why they're collecting a certain piece of information. It can also help think about the comparisons that the data will eventually allow you to make. So here's a version of the conceptual framework that we devised for the Children's Justice Center. In starting to build the conceptual framework, we first helped the CJC be very clear about the ultimate goal that they wanted, which was to make sure that the health and well-being needs of maltreated children are met. We talked about what factors lead to this goal and realized that the CJC does operate at those two distinct levels that help them reach their goal, at the patient level and at the professional level. We helped the staff outline what factors may influence when a child gets referred to the clinic, and we helped them think about whether those were background variables that the CJC doesn't have control over, like age, sex, other socio-demographics, the county where they live, but also mediating variables that the CJC can have an impact on, such as the quality of care that they provide. We also help them think about the factors that will lead to individuals making a referral, which followed a similar parallel, which would be the socio-demographics of a professional can influence their knowledge and beliefs about making referrals, and ultimately can lead them to referring or not referring, but the CJC can intervene in that case with the educational sessions that they offer. So as we developed the conceptual framework, we focused on incorporating things that can be measured. This helped us specifically identify things that the clinic can do better. After we developed the conceptual framework, the CJC staff worked on refining their forms and questionnaires in order to capture information outlined in the framework. After I returned to Baltimore, we communicated by phone and email to finalize this. A few months later, I returned to hold a training on database development. I trained the staff on how to use the EpiInfo program, free software made available by the CDC. EpiInfo is very user-friendly for database creation and management and basic statistical analysis. They have very helpful tutorial and support documents, and the help desk is quite responsive. The staff at the CJC, most of whom had no experience with this sort of thing before, found using EpiInfo really valuable. It helped them find things that they already were trying to do, but do it in an easier way. So during the visit, the staff not only learned how to create the database, but they also learned how to enter and manage the data. We discussed some very real-world considerations in terms of data management, like how to handle missing values and how to merge data from different sources. After that training, the staff constructed the database. They really took ownership of the process and just used me as a reference. We emailed versions of the database back and forth, and I provided feedback and technical assistance. Over this past summer, they entered the data they collected from 2007 and 2008. Just a quick look at the data they've collected has allowed them to better understand characteristics of the population they serve and what needs to be done. Elizabeth Hawker, the executive director, said specifically, "This process was eye-opening. She learned to ask, why am I collecting this information, and what am I going to do with it, which she hadn't previously thought about." Just to provide a specific example of some of what CJC has learned, one thing that they collected information on was the county where patients live. After they gathered this info and they put it into their EpiInfo database, they were able to create this map showing the number of children that they see from each county. I know the numbers are small, but you can probably see that certain regions are shaded. Those regions are areas where they didn't see any children from. They were able to compare it with this map, which shows the number of alleged and investigated cases throughout this state. So it helped them to get a sense of where they need to target outreach efforts and where they might need to build additional satellite clinics to spread their services around the state. Finding out this kind of thing was just one step of what the CJC is going to be able to do with the data they collect. The next step is for the CJC to learn a lot more about data analysis and presentation. And in just a couple weeks, I'll be returning to Mississippi to provide training on that. So in summary, we know that community-based organizations like the Children's Justice Center depend on grants for a majority of their funding. To continue to receive grants, they need to demonstrate a positive effect. The community academic partnership model combines technical skills from the academic institution, local knowledge from the community provider, and funding resources from the donor agency. Because of the unique partnership model, staff members at the clinic are now learning how to evaluate what they do and present numbers rather than just anecdotes. This lends credibility to the project and helps their efforts in obtaining future grants. This is exactly Johnson & Johnson's purpose for funding the collaboration, not just providing a grant. So the clinic will be able to use the data they collect to advocate for future funding from other organizations and also advocate for policy changes using the data they collect. Additionally, this has been a wonderful experience for me, something that I just couldn't get from textbooks, but actually can get from being out in the community. So thank you for listening to my presentation, and these are the people I really need to thank.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Go the wrong way. All right, and next we will hear from Sheila Huth.